off for a few days. He'll be back before Christmas. And joining us for the next hour, and he will take your phone calls at 888-574-2723, is Republican Party gubernatorial candidate Peter LaMage. Peter, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me, Dan.
Why are you running for governor?
Because I don't think anybody else wants this job. Look, there are three reasons why I decided to run. The first reason is that I came from a communist country where I've seen socialism destroy the entire society. And socialism has come to our state of Connecticut. The second reason is that I waited for a true Republican to get in. And no true Republican conservative, someone who has the character and the fortitude not to be afraid of being a Republican, a constitutionalist, and believing in the principles that have made our state and our nation great, to jump in. And no one jumped in. The third one is that the Republican Party in the past has lost elections because we lacked the proper strategy of winning. Unless we go to the cities and deal with or be able to convince other ethnic groups who have moved into our state, such as the Eastern Europeans and the Portuguese Americans and others and the cities, to vote Republican to a certain extent, we're going to lose this election again. And those are the three reasons that propelled me or compelled me into running. In addition to being concerned about the future of my children and grandchildren in this country, which embraced me about 29 years ago, my brothers and I, and gave us a great, great way of life.
Why do you think the cities mostly vote Democratic in this state?
Well, it is by design. From 1960s to present, the Democrat Party has made sure that they destroy the cities and made them dependent on the government. That is the socialistic approach to the population, because the more dependent they are on the government, the easier it is to control them. Look what they did to their traditional family, what they did to their schools. Look at the unemployment rate. Look at the incarceration rate. Look at the crime rate. I mean, they destroyed those cities. And by destroying the cities, they made them dependent on the government and created a voting bloc for them. So I think the Republican Party has an opportunity to be fearless, to move into those cities and speak clearly and frankly with these voters and tell them that the Democrats, by design, have destroyed you, and we're here to work with you, because if I, my family and I are prospering in this state, there is no reasons for a family in the inner city, let's say Bridgeport or Hartford, not to prosper. So the Republicans have a great opportunity to move in and capture the cities. Maybe we're not going to be able to win them, but at least make some inroads and do better than we did the way we did in the past.
So how would you appeal? I mean, it's an overall message to say that we can do better, but how could you do better?
We can do better by telling them the truth, which is completely lacking right now. Look, I came to the United States without speaking English, not having any money, not knowing anybody, and I started working at Burger King. I worked as a doorman. I worked as a porter. I worked in a restaurant. I started somewhere. I was able to eventually go to college, graduate from college, investigated white-collar crimes in New York City, went to law school, became an attorney. I'm a small business owner. I'm living the American dream. A guy like me who came to the United States as a refugee and went through all these steps and was able to succeed and create jobs today for other Americans, it's a story that can resonate and can be shared properly with people in the cities. And I think I would be the proper candidate to walk into these places and talk to them frankly that the American dream is reachable. You just have to choose a different path to achieve it. And the Democrat, the liberal path of achieving the American dream is not the real one.
How do you create that incentive? Because let's face it, we even had Dr. Arthur Laffer on this program the other day, and he said when you create an environment whereby there's not an incentive to work, how do you create that incentive to work for those who happen to be on government programs?
I like the guy, actually. I think he should run for governor instead of the guy that he's trying to promote. What's his name? Stefanovsky, whatever. But, I like the doctor and Dr. Laffer. And look, as I said, I mean, the failed liberal policies are by design. They want to succeed in certain areas to make sure that these cities are failing. And when I say this, I know it's harsh, but this is reality. Think about Bridgeport. Think about Hartford. Think about New Haven. Think about these cities that have been governed or run by Democrats for the past 30, 40, 50 years. When was the last time that we heard any good news coming out of those cities? And that is a concern that we should have, and that is where the Republicans should come in and frankly speak with the residents of these cities, the voters in these cities, and tell them, look, give us a chance. Republicanism, which is limited government, it's less taxes, less regulations, it's a promotion of prosperity and liberty, constitutionalism, law and order, succeeding schools. You know, these are things that we as Republicans should walk into these cities and fearlessly promote them. And we're not doing that.
What sets you apart from the rest of the Republican Party field?
My accent? No. Look, I'm a conservative. I'm running as a conservative. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a fearless Republican. I'm proud to be a Republican. And, you know, I'm not running away or shying away from the principles and the convictions that have made this nation great and have made the state of Connecticut great. And I'm going to fight for those principles. And I don't see any other Republicans actually walking into this field and being able or wanting to do this. Some of the Republicans concern me when they want to be 20% Republican, 20% Democrat, and, you know, whatever is left of, you know, some libertarian or whatever they are. You know, I don't think that voters are going to vote for a Republican who sounds like a Democrat. Because if they want to vote for a Democrat, they do have Democrats, and they've been running this state for a while. So they have no reasons or incentive to vote for a Republican-sounding Democrat. They are looking for a true leader, and I'm going to provide that.
Well, who would be some of the Republican candidates who are sounding like Democrats?
I think with the exception of me, actually, most of them do.
Because a lot of the Republican Party candidates I've talked to said the only way you're going to solve the state's persistent deficit problem is you're going to have to renegotiate with the public employee unions. I mean, that doesn't sound like a Democrat to me.
No, absolutely. And we have to understand one thing, that some of these Republicans, and I don't mean to, you know, dump on the Republican Party, but the truth is that they are taking advantage of the fact that they are running for governor now. And they are becoming more Republican or conservative. But if they've been in Hartford for a number of years, they had a chance to take a position, a conservative position.
I'm going to ask you to get right into that microphone.
Conservative positions before. When they were passing the budget, the Republicans introduced their own budget. They even convinced Democrats to vote with them at one point, and they cornered the Democrats to the corner to make sure that they negotiated the budget properly. Then all of a sudden, you had the Republicans surrender to the Democrats, and they agreed with Malloy. And that was a mistake. If I were there, I would have voted against the budget.
Mm-hmm. How do we solve our persistent deficit problem in Connecticut?
Well, first we have to understand what caused it. It is the scope and reach of government. It's the spending. It's the taxation. It's the killing of jobs. It's the regulations and the mandates that we're passing. It's the failed liberal policies that we implemented in Hartford. So what we have to do, those policies are going to have to be reversed. We're going to have to move back to the common sense conservative principles, which will create jobs and encourage growth. We're going to need growth. We're not going to be able to tax ourselves out of this mess. It's going to have to be a combination of growth and limited government. Every state agency, from my point of view, should be downsized at least 14-15%. Look at right now what we have at UConn. The president of UConn is making $575,000 a year, in addition to two houses that she gets from the taxpayers' money. We have over 1,000 retirees in our state right now who are making over $100,000 a year, in addition to the post-retirement benefits that they get. I mean, these are massive expenses that we have. Look at the state agencies, the amount of money. Look, the agreement that we passed with the state unions, for every four employees, you have a supervisor. For every four supervisors, you have a manager. I run a small business. I'm in a private business. Do you think that I can afford running a business like that? No, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work. By 6 o'clock, I'm down in, you know, Manhattan in the Bronx practicing law, preparing a case. So I'm picking up the phones. I'm making copies. I don't have managers. I don't have supervisors. I cannot run a small business the way we're running the state. So we're going to have to reverse that. But start with lowering taxes. Let's start with the state income tax. No one who is making $100,000 or less in the state as a salary should pay any state income tax. Let's start by lowering corporate taxes, sales taxes. Get rid of regulations. For every regulation that a state agency passes, they should repeal four. Let's get rid of mandates. So in other words, let's create the environment and make our state competitive again for businesses and people to move in.
Okay, hold those thoughts. We're going to be back with gubernatorial candidate Peter Lamage. You can join in the conversation if you have any questions. 888-574-2723 is our telephone number. I want to get just a final check of sports, beginning with men's college basketball. Fairfield lost to Houston, 88-66 last night. DePaul upended Central Connecticut State, 85-57. Yale beat Lehigh, 86-77. Women's college basketball, the University of Hartford, over Central Connecticut State University, 68-50. Villanova beat Fairfield 73-44. NBA, the Celtics down the Mavericks 97-90, and it was the Knicks over the Grizzlies 99-88. Major League Baseball, the Yankees introduced Aaron Boone as their 35th manager, and the Hartford Yard Goats introduced Warren Schaefer as their third manager. All yesterday, NFL news, Giants coach Steve Spagnuolo names Eli Manning the quarterback for the Giants in the game on Sunday against Dallas, and Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon being sued for sexual harassment by an assistant at his marketing firm. Okay, the lottery numbers in Connecticut, the nightly 810, the play 4-1-5-9-4, cash 5-1-15-17-24-28, Powerball jackpot, Saturday's jackpot, $212 million. Classic Lotto, the jackpot tomorrow, $1.4 million. And the Mega Millions jackpot on Saturday is the Mega Millions jackpot tomorrow is $176 million. And there you have it, the sports and the lottery numbers. Let's get that check on traffic now from Cindy Waitman. Good morning, Cindy. Eric, so you can blame me. I'm a little early. Let's duck in quickly before we go to traffic. A couple of more places where you can drop off your donations to the Command Corporation's Toys for Tots campaign being held in conjunction with the Talk of Connecticut. Let me give you three more locations. Part of the West Hartford Park Road Association businesses, Body and Soul Spa Therapies, 192 Park Road in West Hartford, Budget Printers and Embroiderers, located at 1718 Park Street in Hartford, and Cricket Press, located at 236 Park Road in West Hartford. You could make your donations there, part of our Talk of Connecticut. Command Corporation, Toys for Tots Drive. And don't forget, we'll be getting reports on what's going on as far as the drive is concerned. We'll have a reporter, Jim Dunnels, on location during our broadcast tomorrow on Brad and Dan. All right, let's check that traffic now. A look at the roads with Cindy Waitman. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. We've got multiple crashes out there. 84 West and exit 14. There's an accident in Southbury. Two lanes are out. It's near the state police barracks, and the delays are back into Middlebury. 291 West at the Bissell Bridge with a crash in the left lane. That's caused backups to Manchester over by I-84. And 84 West is slammed. Governor Street to Sigourney Street. There's eastbound bumper-to-bumper traffic, Corbin's Corner into I-91. 2 West is snarled up through Glastonbury. More slowdowns into the Founders Bridge. And emergency repairs on Route 9 South, exit 23, are causing some backups. It's all the way to Route 72. Also, there's a reported multi-car accident in the backup near Ellis Street. This report is brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Every 52 minutes, someone is killed by a drunk driver. Join Mothers Against Drunk Driving in a Walk Like Mad 5K near you. Sign up at walklikemad.org. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:07 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Thank you, Cindy. We've got about 90 seconds here. Peter, you're not a stranger to running for statewide office. You ran for Secretary of the State the last time around, right?
That's correct, 2014.
So what did you learn from running that time around, running statewide?
I learned a couple of things, actually. First of all, I learned that we have a great state. I learned that we have great citizens, but I learned that they were hungry of leadership. We are completely devoid of leadership in our state.
Mm-hmm. And how would you transform that into your campaign this year to appeal to the voting population?
We're going to pretty much pursue the same strategy that we pursued in 2014. And I think it worked very well for us, even though I didn't win. But what we did spend a lot of time in the cities, and my campaign manager, Brock Weber, and I did experiment, if you will, with one city. We went to Waterbury and spent a lot of time with other ethnic groups who never voted Republican before, and the other Republicans wrote these cities off. But by the end of the campaign, actually, on election day, we got over 47% of the vote in that city. I got more than the other Republicans. So what that proved is that if we go into these cities, if we talk to these people, if we explain to them properly what Republicanism is and how it benefits them, they would take a look at us, at our party.
Okay, we're going to break, and then we'll be back with candidate Peter Lamage following Your Money Now.
I'm Jennifer Kashenko with Your Money Now. Attorneys for Leandra English, the deputy director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, have filed fresh paperwork challenging President Trump and his pick to lead the consumer watchdog. A judge rejected English's emergency filing to install her as the agency's leader, but yesterday's new filing sets the stage for her to continue the legal fight in higher courts. Mick Mulvaney, Trump's top budget official, is leading the CFPB on an interim basis. China's Commerce Ministry is expressing concern that the U.S. has been spreading negative information about the trade relationship between the world's two largest economies. The ministry says the U.S. has launched trade remedy investigations into Chinese products and has continuously released negative information, which has caused widespread concern among businesses. Crude oil up 7 cents at $56.03 a barrel. On Wall Street, futures are mixed after stocks finished mixed yesterday with the Dow down 39. That's Your Money Now.
Winter weather is here, friends. Make sure your house is ready for the cold, the wind, the snow. WeatherTight Systems can help. Yes, they're the roofing, siding, window, and gutter experts. Receive $500 off a complete gutter helmet and helmet heat system for your home. For as low as $49 per month, you can have a new gutter system installed. Never clean your gutters again. Visit WeatherTiteSystems.com.
Command Corporation in Bloomfield has been one of our nation's leading aerospace innovators for over 70 years. Founded in 1945 by aviation pioneer Charles Command, Command Corporation has become one of the world's most respected names in aerospace manufacturing and industrial distribution. Command is a leading distributor of industrial components from 250 locations across North America. Command Corporation of Bloomfield. Leaders in aerospace and innovation since 1945.
Well, you know Brad wears his New Balance shoes. I have mine on today as well. And you can get New Balance shoes at Evergreen Walk, South Windsor, and the Avon Marketplace, 380 West Main Street, Route 44 in Avon. Locally owned by Michael DeCibio. Now, Brad wears the New Balance 928 shoes. They're made of real leather. The shoe is a special extra-wide 9.5/6E, and it gives him a much roomier toe box. The sole has a special roll bar design, which gives Brad much more foot and ankle support, and it keeps his ankles from rolling, keeps him steadier on his feet, and reduces the risk of falling, and gives him much more comfort. You should have seen him at the luncheon the other day. He was stellar on his feet. And he was wearing his New Balance 928 shoes. Both locations have on-site customer repair and a design workshop. And both locations have an immense inventory. Small sizes to size 15s extra wide. Men's, women's, and children's shoes. They also have that. Running, walking, tennis, soccer, baseball, and golf shoes. Unique sizes, special custom fits, all available on-site. New Balance Shoes, locations Evergreen Walk, South Windsor, and the Avon Marketplace, 380 West Main Street, Route 44 in Avon. Back with our guest, he is running for governor, seeking the Republican Party gubernatorial nomination, Peter Lamage. Okay, Peter, let me get this straight. You would eliminate the state income tax on those making $100,000 or less.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
How would you do that?
First of all, I think that will be that will encourage growth in our state. And always think about our state before 1991. We were the envy of the United States, and we didn't have state income tax. How did we do it then? The problem with our state is not, and our professional and career politicians, it's not the revenue. It is spending. We, from 1992 to present, we collected approximately $192 billion from taxpayers like you and I. Yet we are over $62 billion in debt. The question is, where did the money go? Can we do a better job managing the taxpayers' money? Can we be as trusted stewards of managing this money for the taxpayers? Can we be more reasonable? Can we resolve, you know, the waste that we have in our government? Can we somehow have the audacity of as leaders to tell the voters that, look, what we've been doing for the past 20-something years is not working. We're going to have to reverse this. So we have to have the honesty, the audacity of being honest with the voters, and we don't have it right now. The politicians don't have it right now. Everything that they discuss and talk about, they think that by putting another tax or another fee or another, you know, toll or something, you know, by taking more money from the taxpayers, they think they are going to resolve the problem. I think we have to do the opposite of it. Leave the taxpayers keep as much money as possible. It is their money. Hartford forgets one thing, that every tax that they levy or fee that they levy from you and I, it is the taxpayers' money. It's not their money. Did they ask you and I when they increased the taxes on us, when they implemented the tax on us? They didn't. It's our money. So what do we have to do? We're going to have to go back to giving the people, the voters, the upper hand in this relationship that we have with the government. There is going to be a confrontation, and I'm going to lead that confrontation in Hartford. Hartford has to be dismantled. There are two irreconcilable entities which are clashing right now in Hartford. That is statism, which is socialism, and free markets. I'm going to lead the fight to make sure that free markets win again.
Now, when you talk about improving the state's economy, attracting businesses, and Governor Malloy talked about this when he was candidate Malloy, and the next thing you know, he launched this First Five initiative, which many interpret as corporate welfare. Can you, as governor, be able to attract businesses to Connecticut if you don't pick and choose, if you don't give them a tax break, if you don't give them some kind of an incentive loan? Can you pull it off without doing that?
Absolutely. I don't think that the governor or the government should be in the business of picking winners and losers. Free markets do that. You create the environment for the free markets to do exactly what the free markets do. If someone can provide a service, if someone can provide a product that is wanted and needed in our state, that business is going to flourish as long as the government gets out of their way. You need to get the government as within the constraints of the constitutional requirements. There's a reason that the founding fathers gave us a limited government with enumerated powers. The government right now is operating out of that constraint completely. They have lost the constitutionalism of our state, if you will, and they have become so much involved in every aspect of our lives and businesses and with rules and regulations and mandates, and that we're driving businesses and people out instead of attracting them to move into our state.
I guess the reason I bring this up is we know Governor Malloy is doing this, but other states do it too. They lure businesses by giving them these tax breaks. Mike Pence did it when he was the governor of Indiana. Scott Walker, who has turned that state around, Republican governor, he's done it, but they offer these incentives. How can you do it without offering
Scott Walker did something else too that I would introduce to you. He turned his state into a right-to-work state. Pretty much he made sure that the unions, which have become the fourth branch of the government in our state, he got them out of business. He told them that, employees should not be coerced in joining unions. No, they shouldn't be compelled in paying union dues, and they shouldn't be forced to make political contributions. And we're going to do that in our state, too.
You would make or work to make Connecticut a right-to-work state.
Absolutely. I'm the only candidate who's talking about this, and I'm very passionate about it. I think that the unions have caused so many problems in our state and placed so many obstacles for businesses and, you know, people in our state that they're going to have to be weakened, if you will. And I have no problems with the union members to rank and file. They are providing great services, needed services for our state, but they shouldn't be the fourth branch of the government. You have the union bosses right now who are negotiating deals with the governor instead of the elected representatives who are supposed to be doing that. And the unions are doing that with the governor, with the, you know, excluding the elected officials in these deals.
By the way, and so our audience knows, and I like to check this stuff, you are right, from the candidates that I followed, you are the only one right now who is calling for Connecticut to become a right-to-work state.
Well, that would be, I think, one of the best ways to bring the unions back to renegotiating the deal that they got. Because what they got right now with CPAC, it's unbelievable. That contract is going to be binding all the way up to 2027. And what they got is that for 4 years, there are no layoffs. Can you get these deals in the private sector anywhere?
Well, only if you're the commissioner of the National Football League. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back following the news. Peter Lamage is going to be with us until 8:30. You're listening to a Thursday, Brad and Dan, on Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Don't go away.
CAM, WDRC FM, HD3 Hartford, WSNG Torrington, WWCO Waterbury, WMMW Meriden. The Brad and Dan Show, presented by Footprint Shoes and Accessories.
Palestinians are angry. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's tear gas being fired into a crowd of hundreds of protesters in the West Bank who were throwing rocks and burning American flags and posters of President Trump the day after he announced the U.S. would recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson just said,
"The reality is Israel's government, its courts, its prime minister's office is all in Jerusalem today. So it is just an acknowledgement of what is reality on the ground."
But many other countries, including France, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, oppose the U.S. decision. What will Senator Al Franken do? We'll hear from the Democrat this morning as a chorus of his colleagues call on him to resign over 8 accusations of sexual misconduct. Fox's Rachel Sutherland live in Washington.
Dave, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand among a growing number of Democrats calling on Senator Franken to step down amid those reports of new allegations of inappropriate conduct.
This is a problem in Hollywood, in the military, in politics, and right here on Capitol Hill.
Republicans like Senator Lindsey Graham are treading cautiously.
Probably change would be welcome, but I'll leave that up to Senator Franken.
Franken is set to make an announcement, possibly on the Senate floor. Dave.
Rachel, hurricane force winds could fan the flames of those Southern California wildfires.
I just wanted to get out of the house, so we just left, basically. With just the clothes on our back.
Tens of thousands have evacuated.
We have several friends who lost their houses.
Nearly 200 have burned down. This man's home among them, and he's been through it before.
You got to be positive. What else are you going to do, right? The first time I was disappointed, but you rebuild. It's just stuff. I mean, everybody in my family's healthy, and we can buy new stuff.
The biggest of the fires is in Ventura County. The parents of an accused serial killer in Tampa go before a judge today. Could be held in contempt of court. After refusing to answer investigators' questions about their son, Howell Davidson III is accused in 4 random shootings that terrorized the Tampa neighborhood the past 2 months. Fox News, fair and balanced.
Life happens. With ADT, you can feel safe with an ADT starter kit professionally installed for only $49. Call today and install an ADT starter kit that includes security panel, keypad, key fob, entry and motion sensors, and for a limited time, get a camera included and installed at no additional cost. That's a $449 value installed for just $49.
Requires 36-month monitoring contract, QSB, and easy pay activation. Early return fees may apply. Certain marks excluded. License available at ADT.com, Florida EF001121, UZF1679.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Republicans say it's fair to gun owners. Democrats call it a Christmas gift for the NRA, a concealed carry bill called reciprocity that passed the House.
North Carolina Republican Richard Hudson says a concealed carry permit should be treated like a driver's license or a marriage.
That's why if I get married in North Carolina but I move to Arizona, I'm not a single man again.
Democrats, who mostly voted against the measure, warned the legislation threatens to undermine concealed carry requirements in states with tougher laws than others.
Making it easier for domestic violence abusers, stalkers, and violent criminals to carry across state lines loaded, hidden guns.
Connecticut Democrat Elizabeth Esty, but supporters of the bill said the legislation does not override individual states' limits on what and where you can carry. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
With a deadline looming to fund the government beyond tomorrow, congressional leaders will meet with President Trump today to try to work out a new spending bill to try to avert some sort of government shutdown. She was among the silence breakers, featured by Time Magazine as Person of the Year.
Oh, look what you made me do.
Taylor Swift, among the victims of sexual misconduct, honored for speaking out in the Me Too movement. And there is an update on the man she accused of touching her inappropriately.
Former DJ David Mueller was ordered to pay a symbolic $1 to Taylor Swift after he lost to her in a court battle. The singer claimed during a photo op Mueller had groped her and a jury agreed. Mueller tells Associated Press he sent Swift that dollar in the form of a Sacagawea coin last week. He claims he sent the coin featuring a prominent Native American woman as a final jab at the singer in a case her side called a win for all women. Swift says she still hasn't gotten that dollar. Jill Nato, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are now moving lower before the opening bell next hour. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Mark Zinni for Channel 3 Eyewitness News. In new court papers, a Vermont man denies allegations that he killed his millionaire grandfather in 2013. Nathan Carman has been called a suspect in the shooting death of 87-year-old real estate developer John Chocolos of Windsor, but no one's been arrested. He's also been questioned about the day his boat sank with his mom on board near Rhode Island. She's presumed dead. A tweet from Senator Al Franken's verified account said he has not made a final decision on whether to resign. Several Senate Democrats, including Chris Murphy, called for Franken's resignation on Wednesday after a seventh woman came forward alleging sexual impropriety. Franken is planning a Thursday announcement. Senator Murphy's also speaking out against a Republican bill that cleared the House, making it easier for gun owners to legally carry concealed weapons across state lines. The bill's a top priority of the National Rifle Association, and opponents, mostly Democrats, say the bill could endanger public safety by overriding state laws placing strict limits on guns. Murphy called it a terrible, dangerous idea. Eight countries opposed to President Donald Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital have now asked for an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council. The decision upends decades of U.S. policy, and some fear it will now ignite violent protests. Finally this morning, are you heading to the Big Apple for SantaCon this weekend? A 24-hour alcohol ban will be in effect on the Metro North Railroad to help curb naughtiness during the annual pub crawl that draws costumed Christmas fans. The booze ban will be in effect from noon Saturday until noon on Sunday. That's the news on the Talk of Connecticut. Have a great day, everybody. I'm Mark Zinni, Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
I'm back. That little voice inside your head. While you're out getting gifts, don't forget you or your office. Because now at Office Depot Office Max, you can save 20% on regular priced office supplies, furniture, and more. Get your 20% coupon at officedepot.com/radio or mention this ad in store. A gift for them, a gift for you.
Taking care of business.
Offer ends 12/9. Excludes tech, coffee, appliances, ink, and toner. See coupon for details.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Molly is such a cute snowflake. Where's that costume from?
Thanks. Liberty Mutual saved us some money, so it's custom made.
Liberty did what?
Shh. Oh, we switched our auto and home insurance and saved almost $800.
I wish we saved like that. Sarah's costume could use some work.
But she's a cute horse.
Sharon, she's a turkey.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can save $782 when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Good morning. No major issues on 84 eastbound through Waterbury. Just the usual bumper-to-bumper traffic. We had that westbound accident by exit 14 cleared in Southbury. Delays do remain. Wilbur Cross Parkway North at exit 54. There is a crash in the right lane. It's on the Sikorsky Bridge. The Milford Connector southbound by the Connecticut Turnpike has the left lane out with an accident. And 291 West, we are still working on that crash at the Bissell Bridge. Heavy delays back to Manchester. Left lane remains blocked. Emergency construction cleared on 9 southbound near Christian Lane in New Britain, but the backups do remain. 2 West is slammed through Glastonbury. More delays into the Founders Bridge. I'm Cindy Waitman back at 8:15 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Getting your morning started with all the information you need. The Brad and Dan Show, the Talk of Connecticut.
Our Channel 3 early morning weather, partly to mostly sunny, breezy, seasonably chilly today, a high of 44. Mostly clear and cold tonight, a low of 22. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, a chance for snow showers at night, especially in eastern Connecticut, a high of 40 degrees. It is 30 degrees in Hartford, 29 degrees in West Hartford. Good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan. I'm Dan Lovallo. Brad is off for a few days. He'll be back before Christmas. And we are joined in studio this morning. He's running for governor, seeking the Republican Party gubernatorial nomination, Peter Lamage. He's run for Secretary of the State, so many of you are familiar with Peter. You saw him on the ballot in 2014, the last general election. From a candidate's perspective, by the way, Peter, how big is that? I mean, you do have some name recognition.
Look, we got approximately 500,000 votes. We vote by a very small percentage number. But we do have name recognition. From 2014 to present, I never stopped campaigning. I was not a candidate. But what I did, I stayed in contact with the Republican Party. I helped other candidates. I went door knocking with them. I went to their events. I donated to them. I raised money for the party as much as I could. And the reason why I did these things is that I believe in the Republican principles. I didn't help the party or other candidates with the intent of coming back to them and asking them for a favor later on. I believe in these principles. I believe that the Republican Party principles, if they are embraced fearlessly and implemented cheerfully, if you will, I think they would do wonders for the entire state. And as Republicans, we have no reasons to run away from these principles. And I hope that in 2018, which I firmly believe is going to be a Republican year, unless we lose it ourselves, we should be able to get the executive, the governor, lieutenant governor, some other constitutional offices, and most likely even flip the Senate.
Well, you would need at least control of one of the legislative bodies to get your agenda through, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, that would make the job easier, of course. But the most important thing, I think, is that the message has to get out there to the voters, to the people. And just because you get a Republican elected, it doesn't mean you resolved all the problems, because sometimes we get these Republicans in name only that once they move to one of these executive offices, they're as bad as the Democrats. So I hope we're going to get real Republicans elected this time, and that's what our state needs.
You had the debate last night, the first of many, involving gubernatorial candidates. In front of what I've read, one of the turning points of the debate was when the issue of legalizing marijuana came up. Talk about that.
Look, I was asked that question. We joked about it. I've never smoked marijuana. I hope that my kids will never do it. I know the devastating effect that it can have on a family or the individual. But on the other hand, the purpose of legalizing marijuana shouldn't be what the Democrats and the liberals want it to be. They want it to be a revenue-generating service, if you will, and that is wrong, because as a state, we are better than that. But if you want to legalize it, I think we should put it out there to the voters and let the voters decide this instead of Hartford.
So are you in favor of legalizing marijuana?
I wouldn't have any problem if the voters decide to do this. I think it should be a ballot initiative and let the voters decide this.
Should we as a state, because right now we don't have a mechanism in place for the ballot initiative unless it generates from the General Assembly, should we bring about that mechanism so that voters, obviously there'd be a means test, but voters could then generate enough interest for a ballot initiative, whether it's marijuana or pick your topic?
I think that is the reason why you elect these representatives, to get the people's business done. And if they feel that there is an appeal for this movement, they should be the first ones to look into this. I think the issue is much more complicated than it sounds right now, because once we legalize something that may be harmful to our citizenry, I think the side effects of it may be greater than what we understand right now. So I think the legislative body actually is going to have to examine this issue way better and try to have a better understanding as to what we're doing over here.
But you wouldn't have a problem bringing this to the voters to decide?
No, absolutely. I think the voters are the ones who should decide these issues.
I get a laundry list of questions from voters. I'm going to run a couple of them down. Term limits. How do you feel about term limits?
All the constitutional officers should have a term limit. That means the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, you name it. The legislature itself, I don't think they should.
Okay. Why the difference, do you think?
Well, the representatives are the ones who are in contact with their own communities, and they know the communities better than someone who's in Hartford, someone who's in the state senate, for example. It's always back and forth in contact between Hartford and his or her community, and I think the constitutional officer should have a term limit.
All right. Ballot initiative. What are your thoughts on the ballot initiative? In order, we see it in Massachusetts, we see it in California, and there's a means test, but if there's enough of a grassroots effort, citizens can bring a referendum to the public.
Look, In addition to the three branches of the government that we have, constitutionally speaking, I think the Founding Fathers wanted the people to be the fourth branch of the government and the controlling branch of the government, even though it's not written in the Constitution. They want the people to decide these issues. If there's an issue that affects the general population, I don't think that a small group of people in Hartford or Washington should decide those issues. I believe that it should be the people's choice when it comes to these issues.
How about the recall vote?
We don't have it in our state. That's a complicated issue, too. I mean, you know, anyone can start a recall. But if we have corruption in our state, then, you know, it should be an option in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. I think we should have that option. I have no problems with that. But then you go back to what happened to Scott Walker. He was trying to do the people's business and turn the state into a right-to-work state, and the unions mobilized, and they almost recalled him. So it can have both the pros and the cons when it comes to recall.
But you wouldn't necessarily be against a recall vote?
No,
as part
absolutely.
Of the
as I said, I respect the will of the people. And if that is the process that we have, so be it.
I want to get back to business for just a moment, because the corporation tax, as you know, here in Connecticut is high. What would you lower it to?
I think it's 7. What is that? 7.
I think it's 9%.
9%, yeah. Actually. We have it 9%, and our proposal is that we lower it to 7.5%.
7.5%.
7.25.
Okay.
So that should be lowered right away, because that will encourage growth. We want these corporations not only to stay here, but we want other corporations to move in. And by lowering the state, the tax on corporations, by easing up the regulations and the mandates, I think we can do a better job attracting more business into our state instead of kicking it out.
And again, you would work to eliminate the income tax for those making $100,000 a year or less.
That would be within the first 100 days of my administration. That is going to happen. And what we mean, in addition to that, we're going to have to start rolling back the state income tax and eventually get rid of it completely. Because what we have done, as I said, with the state income tax, we were supposed to have a spending cap. It was never enforced. The elected officials in Hartford, they convinced the people that by passing the state income tax, we're not going to spend your money, we're going to spend it wisely. So what they did, they lied to them. It was never enforced. The spending cap is going to have to be enforced. And if we enforce the laws that we have, we don't have to pass more laws. The problem is that the enforcement is not taking place. So the state income tax eventually, I think, is going to take maybe 7-8 years. But we should get rid of it again.
Although supposedly during this last budget, which was passed, they have put a hard and true spending cap in it. I'll believe it when I see it, but supposedly it's in this budget.
The interesting thing about this budget is that there is a discretionary language used in that budget. And every time that you have a discretionary language, it gives power to the elected officials to do whatever they want to do, go back and renegotiate certain things. That discretionary thing concerns me, because I'm afraid that we're not going to get the deal that they're promising us.
Yeah, you can, and you're an attorney, you know you can drive a truck through discretionary, can't
you? Yes, and that's what they did with this budget. I mean, you know, the deals that they, excuse me, the deals that they got, and it's bipartisan. I understand that. And, you know, they were speaking highly of being able to get together and pass this budget, but I would have voted against it because the budget is putting us into another $1.5 billion in debt. How good of a budget is that? I mean, if you and I were to run the household and businesses that way, you know, how long can we survive?
It was in debt when they passed it, Peter.
You know, look, we've been in debt for a while, and in order for us to reverse this, we're going to have to reverse what we're doing, because obviously repeating the exact same way of running things for this long and getting the same result is not making any sense to the voters.
Okay, we're going to break for traffic, have our final segment with Republican Party gubernatorial candidate Peter LaMage. Let's get that update on traffic from Cindy Waitman. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. On 84, we've got bumper-to-bumper traffic through Waterbury. We've got more tie-ups as you continue your ride from Corbin's Corner out to I-91. 291 West at the Bissell Bridge, a crash was cleared. Delays go back into Manchester. Route 9 South, you're still on the brakes. That emergency road work near Christian Lane in New Britain has been cleared. 167 Bushy Hill Road, that's subject to closure at Oakhurst Road because of a rollover accident, so stick with Route 10 as your alternate. And we also have crashes Milford Connector South at the Connecticut Turnpike. Left lane is down in Wilbercross Parkway. Northbound accident on the Sikorsky Bridge. The right lane is out through there. This report is brought to you by Unbound.org. What is the education of your children worth? There are children across the world who lack the privilege of going to school. Change the story for one child at Unbound.org. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:34 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Join the local businesses and Park Road Association this holiday season as they participate in Toys for Tots. Go to parkroadct.com to get a full list of participating merchants and shop and support local businesses this holiday season. The ShopRite of West Hartford is proudly owned and operated by Chuck and Debbie Joseph. Joseph Family Markets and the ShopRite of West Hartford are dedicated to fighting hunger and supporting youth and education initiatives in the communities they serve. B Restaurants created this idea in 2006, that food can bring people together in a bunch of different ways. Neighbors with neighbors, locals with local ingredients, and bourbon lovers with bourbons worth loving. People go to B Restaurants for good beer, cool surroundings, and one burger to rule them all. Gathering is what they do. B Restaurants is where they do it. There's something for everyone on Park Road in West Hartford. For a complete list of Park Road Association businesses, and for more info on where you can drop off a toy donation this holiday season, go to parkroadct.com.
The Brad and Dan Show, the talk of Connecticut.
Partly to mostly sunny, breezy, and seasonably chilly today, a high of 44, mostly clear and cold tonight, a low of 22. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, a chance for snow showers at night, especially in eastern Connecticut, a high of 40. We have a temperature of 30 degrees in Hartford. It is 29 degrees in Southington. Welcome back to Brad and Dan. I'm Dan Lovallo. Brad, taking a break for the next few days. We're joined by Republican Party gubernatorial candidate Peter LaMage. Peter, you're out there. You're not, and I've known you for many years. You are not afraid to lead by example. Talk about that.
Thank you. Look, I think the first thing that we have to do, and we should do, the next governor, and if I were the next governor, I think we should sell the governor's mansion.
You'd sell the governor's mansion?
I would. There are certain things. We're wasting too much money over here. Just think about the election, the SEP that we get over here, the Citizens Election Program. Anyone who is going to raise a certain amount of money is going to get a ton of money from the taxpayers. I think we're going to have to do away with that, too, because the taxpayers shouldn't fund my campaign. And look, we're forced into this. I'm taking advantage of it. I'm not, you know, being a hypocrite over here. But the truth is that we are forced into this. Why should the taxpayers fund my campaign?
Well, the argument is it keeps, although it hasn't, it keeps big money out of politics. Has it worked?
No, absolutely not. If you go back to the previous elections, I mean, we had big money coming into our, you know, anybody who has millions. And right now, we have some Republicans, actually, and even Democrats who are, you know, going to be self-funding. So big money is going to remain in politics.
And out-of-state money keeps coming in.
Absolutely. And if we bring this to par with the federal requirements, I think that we should get rid of the election, the SEP itself, the program, and let people and candidates raise their own money and run their own campaigns without spending the taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm. It is a tough sell, though. There are certain people, once they create this kind of a program, and now, I'm talking about candidates, now there's taxpayers' money out there to help finance their campaign. They try to sell it on the premise, well, it keeps big money out of politics.
Well, that's the concern and the problem that I have with these politicians. They think that they are entitled to this money. They forget that this is the taxpayers' money. Did they ask the taxpayers as to whether they really wanted to use their money, their hard-earned money, to elect or re-elect someone? We have these pet projects and what I call a debt-financed democracy in our state. We are in debt, and yet we're using the state money, the so-called state money, to elect and re-elect officials. And I think that's wrong, absolutely wrong.
I know this was brought up during the debate last night, and you're going to see it. You've already seen it with the Democrats talking about a state campaign, and they're trying to make the Republicans run on Donald Trump's platform. What do you think about that?
Well, actually, I was hit very hard by one of the potential candidates from the Democrat Party that Peter LaMage is a conservative, help us raise money because we have to defeat this guy who is a Donald Trump supporter. The only thing he didn't call me was a wetback who is supporting Donald Trump, I guess. But the truth is that, look, Donald Trump is doing pretty good. He's our president. We elected him. He was elected, you know, properly to the presidency of the United States. And you look at the job market, you look at the stock market, you look at what he did with defeating ISIS, you look at what he did with Jerusalem yesterday, making it the capital of Israel. I mean, he's doing some pretty good things. I mean, can he do better? Yeah, look, he's a human being. But I wouldn't have any fear whatsoever to proudly tell the voters that I supported him and I continue to support him. And I think having a good relationship with the administration in the next 3-4 years is going to be crucial to our state, because right now, all the elected officials in the federal level, they are Democrats, whether they, you know, House of Reps or the U.S. Senators. And I don't think they are bringing anything from Washington into our state to help us. And having a governor who has a good relationship with the administration in Washington, I think is a good thing.
I want to talk a bit about, we have about 5 minutes left, the state's infrastructure, because it is crumbling apart, highways and interstates. How do we improve it? How do we underwrite the cost of improving the infrastructure?
Look, we have to prioritize things. State should provide core services to its citizens. And we're going to have to prioritize this. And if infrastructure is one of the main concerns that we have into our state, we have to find a way of doing that. We're going to find a way of doing that. The problem with the Democrats in Hartford has been that every time that they created a fund for infrastructure or something else, they just raided that fund a couple of months later, a couple of years later. And instead of using the money for the proper purpose or the intended purpose when they created that fund, they used it for something else. And they used it for rent-seeking and re-elections and pet projects that they promote in Hartford. And that is going to have to change. The way we're doing business in Hartford, it's over. It's not, we can no longer sustain this way of doing business in Hartford. And that is going to have to change. And if I get elected, I'm going to change that.
Are you for tolls?
No. Any fees, any taxes that is going to be imposed upon our citizenry at this point is going to hurt us, and we should get rid of it. You know that we have over 200 taxes and fees right now in our state that they cost us more to collect them than what they generate. You know, just think about the way we're doing business in our state. It's costing us more to collect than what we collect on these fees. And then why should we have tolls? Why should we impose more fees on the people? Aren't taxpayers tired and burdened already with taxes and fees? You know, I think we should give them a break for a change. We should tell the taxpayers that, look, it's your turn. It's your turn that we're going to give you a break, because they deserve it. It's their money.
I have business people, particularly the owners of small business, tell me one of the things that aggravates them is this business entity tax, which is $250, and it just aggravates them that they've got to sit down and write out a $250 check. I'm sure you've heard the same thing.
I've heard the same thing, and that is part of my plan, and we're going to get rid of it.
You're going to get rid of the business entity tax.
Any taxes that are hurting our businesses, look, we're not going to be able to get out of this mess by taxing people and businesses more. We need growth. You cannot have growth by taxing. Taxes kill jobs. Taxes prevent you from creating wealth and equity. We have to create wealth and equity, and that is growth, that is prosperity, and that is reclaiming liberty. And those are things that we have to put them in that order. We're not doing it in Hartford, and we're going to do it the moment I get into that mansion.
Now, we've had the mayor of Hartford on this program many times, and it looks as if he's going to be running for governor off of the news today, but he still has not told us or the public whether or not he's going to file for bankruptcy in Hartford. If you're the governor, what would you do with Hartford and its financial situation?
Are we talking about Luke Brownman?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Luke actually is from Greenwich, Connecticut. He moved to Hartford because he wanted to take an advantage of the opportunity of being the next mayor of that state. I think it was very
the next mayor or the next governor?
The next mayor first.
Next mayor for, okay.
And then get himself elected to the governor's
mansion.
So you're
saying that's the real reason he ran for mayor?
Oh, absolutely. It was very well calculated. Every time that the Democrats make a move, it is very well calculated. Unless it benefits us, they wouldn't do it. Just think about a guy who grew up in Greenwich moving to Hartford. I mean, it's like me growing up in the Bronx and moving to, instead of growing up in Fairfield and moving to the Bronx. But we should understand that. That was a calculated move. But on the other hand, the mayor of Hartford, we should allow Hartford to declare bankruptcy. If you and I can make decisions with our finances that we made a mistake and, you know, no one is going to bail us out. Why should we bail out Hartford? Mm-hmm. We're tired of bailing out failure. Let them declare bankruptcy. But I'll tell you one thing. Hartford, if Luke Brennan decides to run, I think that would be a great opportunity for the Republican Party because he's running from a failed city. And I think we have a great opportunity, actually, to attach him to Malloy and his failed liberal policies, and he's part of it. He was his advisor, and everything that he's done so far is a calculated move to get him elected to the governorship.
So if you got the GOP nomination, you would love to run against Luke Brennan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, I know him personally.
Okay.
I know him personally. I think that's the easiest one to defeat. I mean, the guy that we should watch right now is the felon from the former felon from Bridgeport.
Joe Ganim.
Joe Ganim.
Why should we have to watch out for him?
The Democrats love him. They just love him. And the guy is their star. The Democrat Party cannot function without criminals. It is like it's in their blood, you know. But they love him, actually.
Peter, we have about 15 seconds. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to thank you very, very much for having me again on your radio show. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and everyone out there a Merry Christmas. And I know that today is December 7th. That was it's the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. So I just want to thank every veteran out there and anyone who has served our country. Thank them very much from the bottom of my heart for protecting our liberties and our freedoms. And may God bless you, and I appreciate your time.
Peter, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and your family. We'll have you back. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to be back in just a moment. Talk to our friends from MyHouseBuyer.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. There are protests in the Middle East over...